You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz. I am joined, as always, by Rhett Bollinger. And the Twins, after a 20-win May, they really wanted to keep May going on the calendar if they could have, because it's been a 7-12 June as of this moment. Been a rougher month for them. A lot of that is tied into the offense. And Rhett, what do you say about this? I mean, this correction, aberration, what's gone on with the bats here in general these last couple weeks?
I think a little bit of a correction. Obviously, early in the season, a lot of the Twins' offense was kind of predicated by their ability to score with runners in scoring position. And that's kind of gone away this month. They've kind of, obviously, the first couple months, I think they were second in the majors and batting average runners in scoring position. This month, it's kind of gone back down, having trouble with that in that regard. So their offense is kind of, starting to struggle here this month. I mean, the good news is the pitching is still holding up pretty well. The starting pitching, I think they entered, as of this recording, they're top 10 in the majors and starters ERA. So in that sense, at least that's kind of at least holding up its own end of the bargain. But right now the offense is starting to kind of fall off a little bit. And there's still a chance the offense can get going again. Obviously, we still haven't seen some of the guys with track records, obviously Joe Mauer, really have much of an impact this season offensively. Obviously, Byron Buxton, the big prospect called up, has struggled so far. You could see more guys, maybe like Miguel Sano, come up as the season goes along. So, and we know last year the Twins finished seventh in the majors in runs scored. So offense wasn't supposed to be an issue, but definitely this month it's been the biggest issue for them, and that's one of the reasons why they've kind of fallen off this month after a strong May.
You mentioned Mauer. Would Molitor ever give any thought to moving him in the batting order at this point, or would he have to really go into a serious funk? Obviously, he's been struggling, but still batting second and primarily third.
I think he had to struggle a little bit more. I think at this point he likes him there at the top of the lineup, second or third, just because as much as he's struggling, he's still near the top of the team in on-base percentage and definitely leading the team in terms of batting average with runners in scoring position. Never know how sustainable that is or how much of that's just kind of, good fortune that he's come up big in those clutch situations. But the RBI totals are definitely there. So I think if he were struggling more with runners in scoring position and wasn't really getting on base and wasn't drawing the walks and all that, I could definitely see him being moved back down in the lineup. But right now, as long as he's still doing that at least, I think he'll stick there just because also, like I said, the offense right now, with the way it's going, there's really nobody who really kind of almost deserves to replace him in that area just because as a whole, I think the whole offense outside of maybe Eddie Rosario and Brian Dozier and Plouffe, we're already at the top of the lineup. There's really no reason yet to move Mauer down yet.
And Buxton, his first week, he goes 3-for-25 at the plate. He freely admits, the breaking balls are different up at this level and have given him some trouble. Got his first home start within that week, so obviously a nice warm reception from the Target Field crowd. But what's kind of your takeaway from the first full week of the Byron Buxton experience in the big leagues there, Rhett?
It definitely really hasn't gone to plan offensively. I mean, he said the big thing for him right now has just been chasing a lot of those breaking balls and sliders in the dirt. A lot of right-handers are giving him trouble just because, those balls are kind of breaking away from him and he's swinging at them and striking out a lot. I think he's probably hung in there a little bit better against lefties just because obviously the balls aren't breaking away from him. But obviously it's just been a week, obviously he could figure it out. He's been a guy that almost at every level throughout his career has, kind of had a slow start. Even this year at AA, the first month was kind of, some of us probably just rust from missing so much time last year, but kind of struggled early this season and then picked it up. It's kind of been his thing throughout every level because he's a guy that likes to kind of, even in spring training, he kind of likes to track pitches a lot where he'll kind of stand there and take the first pitch a lot, kind of like what Joe Mauer does. But the hard thing is, especially if you're doing that right away as a rookie, is all of a sudden he's taking that first pitch, which might be a fastball or even a breaking ball. It's a strike that, maybe you could put it into play. He's watching those go by, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, you'll get Buxton, and he's down 0-1, 0-2 in the count almost every time. And then from there, he's just trying to, battle. And, pitching up here is just too good, and they're striking him out when he falls down in the count like that. So I think for him, it's going to be a matter of being maybe a little bit more aggressive early in counts just to show that he's not going to take that pitch every time. And then on top of it, kind of trying to get himself in better counts. And based on, his track record in the minors, the Twins aren't worried about him or setting back his development or anything like that. But so far, definitely a struggle. We'll kind of see how it goes and see what happens, when Aaron Hicks returns. The Twins think that Byron Buxton needs more seasoning. That's still a little bit away, so we'll kind of see how he does. But definitely kind of curious to see if he can stick up here.
One thing that definitely stood out, you know, his first hit was a triple, of course, and MLB Network did a nice job of breaking this down. He got the third base on that triple in 10.7 seconds, despite coming out of the right-handed batter's box, of course, and he even stumbled around second a little bit. And they compared that to Billy Hamilton, who's generally known as, you know, maybe the fastest player in the game. He gets third on a triple in 10.2 seconds. And, of course, he's a switch hitter, so that might be out of the left-handed batter's box. But regardless, it's obviously to be in that company, to be a half a second off of that pace, again, including the stumble around second and coming out of the right-handed batter's box. That's some special speed right there.
Yeah, he's incredibly fast. I mean, we saw it even in his first game, hit a little ground ball to third base, nearly beat it out, and that triple was so impressive. He kind of runs funny, too, watching that triple. He's like, I said, he almost stumbled around second. His arms are kind of flailing everywhere. And yet, once he gets that speed, it's just incredible. I want to say some of the stat guys' data had him, at 22 miles per hour or something crazy. So he was just flying around the bases, and he picked up his first stolen base against the Cubs in his last game of that series there on Sunday. And he stole the base easily, and the throw ended up going into the outfield and took third base. So I think as long as he can get on the base, kind of like Hamilton, he should be able to steal bases almost at will with his speed. And then the big thing, too, that speed plays in the outfield. You know, that's the biggest thing. I think that's what the Twins are saying now. Even if he continues to struggle and kind of take his licks offensively, defensively, he's so good that kind of helps make up for it a little, you know, in a sense, just because he gets to so many balls that other guys won't get to. I mean, there was a play in St. Louis. I think Carper hit one into the gap. It might even have been at target field. And he just tracked it down so easily. It made it look easy, even though, you know, most outfielders don't even come near that. It drops in there for a double. And then even the triple he hit, like you talked about, hit that ball to left field. I mean, and same thing with him at double A. I mean, he was leading all of baseball in triples. Almost all of his triples were hit to left field. I mean, some of the ones we didn't even get to the warning track, and he'd already get to third. So I think he's a guy that going forward, once he kind of figures it out, I think he's a guy that could lead the American League in triples, you know, routinely. And same with stolen bases, just a matter of him kind of getting that offense going.
Yeah, he can impact the game in a lot of ways. We know that. Let's talk about the rotation, Rhett. Irvin Santana, eligible to come back, I believe July 5th is when he's returning to the rotation. Had his first minor league rehab start. I guess you can't call it a rehab, but coming back from that PED suspension. His first start of his minor league stint, let's put it that way. What's the takeaway from that and his progression moving forward here?
He's pretty good in that. You can call it a rehab start because that's technically what it's called as part of the rules. He gets 16 days of a rehab start, you know, rehab assignment, or as you said, maybe you want to call it 16 days of a minor league stint to get ready. But his first one went well, you know, to have, you know, be off of that long a time and then come in and give up only one run over 5 2/3 innings. I guess the AAA lineup was pretty impressive. He's a guy who walked a couple guys, which is kind of unlike him, but part of that might just be from that rust. He was pitching down at the extended spring training, but obviously the talent level coming up to AAA is definitely a lot different. So it was a good sign. You never know what you're going to see from him, considering the long layoff. He'll make a couple more of those. And then he's kind of lined up to start July 5th in Kansas City. So it's going to be a big boost for this rotation. And like I said earlier, the nice thing is the rotation right now is already top 10 in the majors in ERA, so it really hasn't been an issue. But he's obviously a very good starter, so to plug him in there is definitely going to be a big boost for this team, almost like adding an arm at the trade deadline. The big question is going to be who he replaces in that rotation. And right now it's probably still a little early to say. The guy that was thrown in there, Tommy Malone, who took over once Ricky Nolasco won the DL, has also pitched pretty well, too, in the three starts since he returned. So I think it's going to be one of those things Twins are going to kind of monitor the next few weeks. Any of the starting pitchers kind of fall off. That's what I think, he'll replace there. The Twins are reluctant to go to a six-man rotation, so I don't think we're going to see that. But, it's going to be one of those big things to kind of follow and see who he replaces. And even with Velasco, I mean, right now he's scheduled to throw a bullpen this week. Coming back from his ankle injury, got fitted with new orthotics for his shoes to kind of help him with the ankle thing. So right now, as it stands, once they return, which would both be in July likely, the Twins would have seven starters. So the Twins could decide to maybe trade a starter and maybe try to get a bullpen arm, because right now the bullpen's kind of been a struggle for them as much as the rotation's been good. A lot of those guys that were good early in the season, like Aaron Thompson, some of those guys are kind of starting to fall off a little bit. But maybe they kind of trade from an area of depth. And we could see, you know, because the bullpen right now has definitely been a struggle. So we could see that, but it's going to be kind of curious to see what happens here in the next few weeks with both Santana and Nolasco expected to make their returns.
Yeah, who'd have thunk it? I mean, Phil Hughes and Kyle Gibson are probably not going anywhere, obviously. Mike Pelfrey has been so good for them. Trevor May has been so good for them. Malone, who you mentioned, has been terrific his last couple of times out. And, yeah, who'd have thought it, Rhett? The Twins have too much starting pitching. That's a long time.
Yeah, the opposite of that. Recent years.
Yeah. I want to thank Rhett for joining us, and thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.